Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Our student food pantry here at MTSU needs your help once again. After Thanksgiving and Christmas, I wouldn't exactly say that the shelves are empty, but more contributions are definitely needed to help feed low-income students. Becca Sewell, who works at the University College Advising Center, holds the keys to the MTSU food pantry. It needs your help, and that means donations. So we're going to talk about that and the future of the food pantry after this from MTSUnews.com. Becca, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
The food pantry really started as an idea last fall, but it was in spring 2012 that the SGA passed the resolution, the Student Government Association passed the resolution giving their support to create the pantry. Can you tell us how much it has done since then to help hungry MTSU students?
Sure. Like you said, the SGA passed the legislation first. And it kind of started in our office without us even really knowing about legislation that had been passed down. So that's when we formed the partnership. It started in October of 2012, end of October. And we started with a couple of food drives with our student organizations on campus. SGA Project Help did a really big drive for us. We have collected roughly 4,000 pounds of food since October, but we've handed out 2,500 pounds of food. So we are handing out just about as quick as we can take in. We have helped over 160 students since October that have visited the pantry. We have some students that are every now and then repeaters. Many of them are not. So there's obviously the need there. We've had probably 60 to 75 contributors to the pantry, a lot of people that have helped donate, but it has slowed down since last semester.
Were you expecting the response? The need, I mean, not the donations, but the need, the response from low-income students who really needed food to be as big as it was?
In a way, yes. That's why we started the pantry, because we knew that the need was growing. Since 2008, the homeless population and foster care population on campus has grown tremendously. In the last 2 years alone, we've had almost 70 students that have been designated by the federal government as homeless students, not to mention the probably 200 or more that are wards of the court or foster care coming in every fall. So we knew the need was there, and we knew that they would come to us eventually. It was difficult getting the information out there. A lot of media resources helped us to do that. And since then, students have been coming pretty steadily.
Let me emphasize that the food pantry is not something that the university or the Student Government Association was required to do. This is something that it felt compelled to do. This is an idea that came out of a need. It did not come from any mandate from any other source, government or otherwise.
Correct. Yeah, Next Step is a resource that we have here on campus that started in 2008, and it started with just foster care students, with helping them kind of get acclimated to college life and make the transition with housing and financial aid and things of that nature. And it's grown more into a resource for homeless students, foster care, and other independent students that don't have the parental support to make it.
Now, I can see how you can identify low-income and foster care students. How do you identify homeless students?
Homeless students that are identified by us, when they fill out their FAFSA, their application for aid, they select that they're homeless and they have to come see me. And in the process of verifying that, we have to have documentation of their current living situation, past living situation, and if their parents do or do not support them or basically claim them on their taxes. And I have to collect that documentation and verify it all.
It might come as a surprise to most people that there are that many students in need. They might rationalize, well, if they have enough money to go to college, they ought to have enough money to feed themselves. Can you explain the kind of confusion that that might create?
Definitely. A lot of students only get financial aid for their tuition. A lot of Pell Grants and loans will only max out at what their tuition is going to be. A lot of students that live on campus have aid to cover that as well. And by the time they put all that in, they don't have money to sustain weekly, to buy food, to buy books and things like that. So they have to find money elsewhere. A lot of them will work. A lot of them can't work for whatever the reason may be. And so that's where the food pantry comes in.
Are there still other students, you think, on campus that might not have heard about the food pantry that you might need to reach?
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of where we're at now, is we're wanting to get the word out again. Like I said, last semester was really great with all the media that we had. We got it out there to a lot of students, but there are still students that need the help that don't know where to go for the help. So the more people that know about it, the more it's going to be a benefit to our students.
We'll be back with more on MTSU On the Record right after this.
The American Democracy Project is a nonprofit initiative which strives for greater voter registration and civic participation among young people at MTSU and at campuses nationwide. Through encouragement from professors and peers, young adults are shown the value of being more active citizens in their community, their state, and their nation. ADP seeks to nurture programs that raise the campus community's level of engagement with society. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Becca Sewell of the University College Advising Center. She is also in charge of the Student Food Pantry, which is housed in the McFarland Building here on campus, and it's been in existence as a physical entity since spring of 2012. How much can you store in that room?
Well, like I said, we've collected about 4,000 pounds. We're down to about 2,000, and that pantry's pretty full. So we're probably looking at between 2,500 and 3,000 pounds of food. We do have some room for overflow in our building right now. SGA helps out with that as well if we need some space in the union. But we don't turn anything away. Obviously, we can't hand out expired food, but we're gonna store everything that we can because the need is just growing.
Now, you need non-perishable food, of course.
Correct.
But you don't necessarily need the same exact kind of food that you might donate to the Second Harvest Food Bank, because college students have
right.
particular needs and taste. Why don't you be mm-hmm. a little specific about that?
Yeah, again, that's kind of where we're at right now. A lot of the poundage of food right now is canned food. We have a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruit, a lot of ravioli-type things, and soups, and that's all well and good. Students take that. But students tend to go for things that they can take with them to class, snacks, bottled drinks, granola bars, Pop-Tarts, things that they can take and just easy to go type things.
Things that are heat and eat might
right.
not necessarily be okay, because some of them won't have access to
mm-hmm.
a microwave oven.
Yeah. We had a student in there yesterday that didn't have access to a can opener, so we had to work around that.
So if it's got a pop-top can,
mm-hmm.
and you can just take it and go,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about also, when you mean drinks, we're talking about
right.
juice box type things, right?
Right, right. That's the juice boxes and the bottles and, believe it or not, Capri Suns. I mean, those things go quicker than we can get them on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And bottled water, we have students that are very much... You know, that's what they come to get because that's what they drink the most of. And we've started to encourage them, okay, save your bottles and fill them back up so that more people can have access to these. But the drinks are the things that are going the most.
What about condiments, salt and pepper and ketchup and mustard and stuff like that?
We've had a few things like that donated. We have a lot of random things donated to mm-hmm. the pantry. But when we get them, they go quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's definitely something that would be good to have. We have a lot of adult students, non-traditional students that come just for whatever reason. They're coming back to school. Maybe they got laid off, lost their job. They need that kind of help. And a lot of our non-traditional students are the ones that cook a lot. So they come and get the stuff that you have to cook with, not the easy stuff that your typical freshman student's going to take.
So you need both stuff that can be heated up on an oven
mm-hmm.
or on a stove, and stuff that you can just take and it's, you know, one-stop shopping, granola
right.
bars, things like that.
Right. Yeah, the snack crackers, the packs of peanut butter crackers, popcorn goes really fast, really fast. That's one thing that they take a lot of, even the peanut butter. I mean, they take peanut butter and crackers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certain things that just kind of flies off the shelf when we get it in there.
So if you happen to belong to one of these clubs like Sam's Club or mm-hmm. some other discount club like that where you can buy in bulk for less, then you can stop by the food pantry and drop off bulk packages of all kinds of items, and they will be extremely grateful for that.
Right.
Yeah, more
right.
so than even singular items, although they'll take mm-hmm. those too.
And if we do get the bulk stuff in, we break it apart so that it lasts longer and is available for more students.
Right. And somebody might not want to take an entire package of cheese and crackers
right.
or whatever, so, you know, you give them what they want mm-hmm. of it, and instead of having them go out of there with, you know, 2 6-packs of Diet Coke or whatever.
Right, right.
Do you give out any kind of nutritional advice with this, or do you just see your role as really making sure that they have foodstuffs?
It's more of making sure they have what they're going to eat. We've kind of toyed with the idea of creating bags or boxes of kind of well-balanced meals and things for them just to come and grab and go. But then we run the risk of handing out food to students that they're not going to eat. So it's more of whatever they want to take when they come in. Now, we don't let them come in and go grocery shopping for the week, mm-hmm. but we let them take what we know that they're going to eat. And several of them will come in there and say, I don't want this. It's got too much sodium in it. Let me grab something else. So we do have very nutrition-conscious students.
Do you ever run into people who'll tell you, you know, I can't eat this. I have to have a gluten-free diet, or I'm diabetic, or I'm allergic to this or that or the other thing, and I only can eat certain things?
We do. And for those students, there are very little things in the pantry that are that specific. We did have a student come in that is on a gluten-free regimen, and we had soups and things that we could give that student, but as far as other things for breakfast and quick yeah. snacks and things like that, we didn't have that for them.
It would be difficult with processed foods no matter
mm-hmm.
what,
mm-hmm.
all processed foods. You're the only person right now who has the keys to the closet, is that right?
Well, we've taken it to all of our advisors. Part of SGA's legislation was that the student has to meet with a counselor before they can access the food pantry. And what we've done is we make sure that they're a current student. We kind of talk to them about their need as far as, is this going to be something you're going to come this week for, or is it going to be a weekly thing? And we do that, you know, on the way to the pantry. We don't, it's very informal. We don't want to make them feel uncomfortable because it's already a big task for them to come and, you know, admit that they need help and get food. So as they're walking to the pantry, we'll typically ask them what kind of a need it is and just kind of adjust what we give them from there.
Do some people feel ashamed or difficult for them to get over the emotional part of feeling that, you know, this is embarrassing. Why should I have to come and beg somebody for food?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had several students like that, and the majority of the ones that come in and say that they are very ashamed or embarrassed to be there are our non-traditional students, our adult student learners that come in. And again, it's we're there to help them succeed here at MTSU. If you're hungry and going to class, you're not going to be able to concentrate. So we'll do whatever we can to help them succeed.
Because if you're 35, 40 years old and you have a job, you feel by that point in life you mm-hmm. you should be able to support yourself. And
right.
Despite the fact that we've had hard economic times lately. Mm-hmm. Has anybody tried to avail themselves of the pantry items who wasn't qualified?
Not yet. We haven't run into anybody yet.
And you're not going to let them either, are you?
No, we're going to. Now, we have a lot of campus or off-campus resources for students that are on a more permanent need.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do run into anybody like that, we'll definitely refer them to them to get some assistance. We don't want anybody to go hungry. Mm-hmm. But the pantry on campus is for our students.
We'll have more about the food pantry here at MTSU on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The annual Baseball and Literature and Culture Conference at MTSU welcomes scholars from all over the country to present papers on numerous baseball-related topics. Their research highlights the national pastime's impact on everything from race relations to the economy and the sports depiction in poetry and novels. The conference has attracted all-stars and Hall of Famers, including Denny McClain and Ferguson Jenkins. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Becca Sewell. And what is your official job title at the University Advising Center?
Right now, my official title is an academic advisor.
Okay. And how did you become the person who came to be in charge of the food pantry?
When I started at the Advising Center in 2008, I took over the Next Step program, the foster care and homeless resource program that we run. And I took that because of my background. I have a human sciences background. And it just kind of stemmed from that. I saw the need for students that just it kept growing with foster care and homeless. The need was there. And I was discussing it one day with one of our assistant directors that's no longer here. And we just kind of took it and ran with it. I mean, it literally happened in 24 hours.
And that was the reason it ended up in the McFarland building in particular, because that's where the advising center is located.
And it is literally a storage closet. It's a closet with shelves that we cleaned out, scrubbed out, and put shelf liner down. And it's not a big space at all, but it works for what we need right now.
And what we'd like to do is to fill it up to the point where it's overflowing, and they absolutely have to find more places to put the food donated to the food pantry.
Absolutely.
How much do you anticipate that you're going to need by the time the next Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season comes around? Because that's when you guys really get intense flow.
Right. Well, I mean, we've handed out since October, we've handed out over 2,000 pounds of food. And the more students that find out about it and need it, you know, it's just going to continue to grow. So I can't even begin to guess how much we're going to need between now and then, but if we're handing out 2,000 pounds of food in every 4 months, we're going to push 10,000 pounds by the time Christmas gets here, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
It's really amazing. Have you had anything spoil on you? Have you had to throw out any expired stuff?
We're very careful about that. We have a really strong partnership with Greenhouse Ministries, and they're a community resource that we use. We have student workers that are assigned to the pantry, and they go through the pantry every month and pull out stuff that's getting ready to expire, and we take it to Greenhouse before it does, because they can turn around food really quicker than we can. So we're really careful about taking our soon-to-be-expired food to them so that it can still be used. And like I said, we refer students who are long-term, who need long-term care, to Greenhouse to assist. So it's a partnership we have with them. We do have food that's donated already expired. People just, you know, go through their pantries trying to help, and we appreciate that, but we can't hand out expired food. So we do have to turn around and get rid of that.
Do you have any partnerships with the corporations or restaurants in the area who might be in a better position to donate food in bulk?
We've been approached by some. We actually have a local boat company that sends a box of food pretty much monthly or every other month. But as far as restaurants and things, they get into some, I guess, technicalities with tax exemptions and things of that nature. And the food pantry is a project within a center. It's not a student organization. It's not a 501c like they keep asking. So if they do donate anything, it's on the manager's time. You know, it's not the restaurant that's coming in and giving it to us.
It's more of an individual choice rather than an official donation.
Right. And we've been approached by Second Harvest to form a partnership with them. But at the point where we're at right now with the pantry, we're not big enough to form that partnership with Second Harvest. Second Harvest would come in every month and give us what we need to fill the gaps. But right now, we just don't have, again, we're not a 501c, which is what they want, and we just don't have the traffic coming in and out to partner with them. But that's definitely on the table for later.
Do you have students who volunteer to help out?
We have students that want to volunteer to help out. But again, right now, we just don't have the need for it, because we have student workers in our office that we have to find, you know, projects for them to do when they're with us. So they're helping out a lot with it. SGA does a lot of the collection for us at food drives and events and things of that nature.
Have you had students come to you and identify students that they think might be able to avail themselves of the food pantry, but they're just too shy to come forward?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of the housing staff will send me messages, emails, come by the office and tell me of a student that they're concerned about. And it just takes a simple email that says, hey, come see me. I'm here 7:30 to 4 every day, and we'll get you some food. I mean, and they typically do.
Mm-hmm. And that's Monday through Friday, right?
Yes, we're open Monday through Friday. The center's actually open 7:30 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, all of our advisors are trained on helping students in the pantry, so they can come by any time between those hours.
And that's the time for donations as well. Any time during those times is the time that you can make donations to the food pantry.
Absolutely.
It's really such an irony because we have all of these restaurants, private sector restaurants in the Student Union Building in the KUC, and we have Aramark, with which the university has contracted to provide food to students who are on the meal plan and to provide catering for the various receptions and dinners and luncheons and functions that we have here on campus when we invite people from off campus. And yet, here we are in the midst of all this food, and there are still people starving. How do you wrap your mind around that?
It's hard to. It's really hard to. Aramark does give us a certain amount of vouchers every semester through the McCallie Scholarship, so we have that available. What we have to realize is that a lot of our students are on campus. They do have meal plans, and they're running out. They're needing things to take to class with them. They just don't have the funds to do it. And with the students that are off campus, they really don't have the funds to do it with no meal plan and no connection to campus.
So some students who are actually on the meal plan, they go in and swipe a card at McCauley or one of the other cafeterias on campus, the one in the James Union Building, and they run out of available food plan bucks by the end of the semester, and they can't use those facilities anymore.
Right, so they come to us.
And then they come to you.
Yeah, they come to us. I would say most of our students are probably off campus because those that do live on campus, they do have access to that meal plan. So for the majority, they're well taken care of. But we do have a good population of on-campus students as well.
We'll be right back with more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Experiential Learning Scholars Program at MTSU gives students a chance to go outside the classroom and obtain hands-on experience in their chosen fields of study. They'll have the opportunity to give something back to the community through service learning as they gain acceptance for graduate study. Students should be able to select EXL-designated courses from major requirements and general studies requirements to complete the 16 to 18 hours of EXL coursework. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Becca Sewell of the University College Advising Center and the need for more donations to the Student Food Pantry, which is located in the McFarland Building. And we'll repeat the times when you can drop off donations if you're coming back to school in order to do a midlife career change or something like that. And you have a family and you're, as I say, 35, 40 years old, it would be interesting to see how you could possibly keep going under all that stress with all of that to do, being underfed and undernourished. I don't know how they do the juggling act if they are eating properly myself, because that's a heavy burden.
And I've had students come in that actually come in with their sons or daughters that have children. We've actually had a mother-son team that both go here that came in, and there are students that come in that have kids, and it's kind of gotten out there in some of our media last semester that we have non-traditional students. We actually had, for the first time this semester, somebody donated baby food. So there's baby food in the pantry if anybody needs that.
Well, that's a good idea. If you have some food that you can donate for little children or for babies, for mothers who are trying to feed their kids and go to school at the same time. You say you don't let them go grocery shopping for the week. Is there a fast, hard and fast limit on the amount of stuff they can take out at any one time?
Yeah, we typically tell them that they can take food for up to a week. And that usually translates into 3 or 4 grocery bags of food. Some advisors are a little bit more liberal in what they let students take. But especially if it's somebody that comes back weekly, we try to limit them so that there's enough for everybody else that comes in as well.
And you said, once again, how much food do you have available right now?
We have roughly about 2,000 pounds of food in the pantry right now. Mm-hmm. We've given out about half of what we've collected since October.
2,000 pounds of food sounds like a lot, but it really isn't when you consider the need, right?
Right, right. And there's a lot of the 2,000 pounds that we have in the pantry right now is canned products. And a lot of students can't use the cans because they don't have can openers or they don't have stoves or microwaves.
Do you take snack foods that come in bags, or is that inconvenient for you?
No, absolutely. We take everything. We take everything, and we give everything out. One thing that I will say, when we, in 2010, when I really took over the verifying of homeless students and foster care students, we had probably about 100 students that fell into both categories, more of them being foster care ward of court. And we're at almost 400 students now that are coming in every fall from foster care, homeless, ward of the court. Ward of the court can get tricky because it could be state custody for behavioral issues, but most of it's foster care and orphan-type situations.
Are you expecting that number to grow, or is there just no way to tell?
I'm actually expecting it to grow. We have a strong partnership with Youth Villages, which is a local transitional living facility, not facility, but organization, and they work with students as they transition out of foster care, 18 and up. And they are finding more and more resources for students to come to college. So that number is expected to grow because a lot of students that are coming out of foster care don't think that they can come to school. But there's more and more resources, more and more funding available, so they're starting to do it.
If people want to donate to the student food pantry, how do they get in touch with you?
We have a website set up. It's mtsu.edu/food pantry, and my contact information is on there. They can call the advising center at 898-2339.
That's area code 615.
Yes, and just come by the office. I mean, we have all the contact information is on the website, and we keep that website pretty updated with what we need that week.
And that's Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5, is that right?
7:30 to 5:30.
7:30 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. That's Monday through Friday. And please be advised that the food pantry will be closed on university holidays, which more or less follow the regular calendar. Memorial Day, mm-hmm. 4th of July, they're pretty obvious.
Right, right.
Becca Sewell, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.